How many of you are ready for Christmas? I am so tired of seeing Christmas. Bah humbug, right? Yeah. But for 3 months now, they have bombarding us with all the things that says this is Christmas. I love that tree. I really do. I don't worship that tree, but I do love it. I love it. I love the poinsettias. They're so beautiful. They add so much to our sanctuary. I enjoy very much the music. It's very good. Even if I tell Margaret she will never play another Christmas song in July. But I enjoy the wreaths. I enjoy all the things that, and the Christmas music is played in stores. I just don't want it 3 months before. I don't want what I consider, and this is just me, you guys can think anything you want to, and you can be wrong, it's okay. But the commercialization of Christmas, this is Christmas? Is that what it is? Is it just about the gifts? You ask every kid, and of course it is. But is it just about the things that we see? Frosty the Snowman. I have nothing against Frosty the Snowman. I have nothing against any one of those, the reindeers, Santa Claus. I have nothing against that. I do not bow down to that. I do not spend time thinking about the deity that might be in this, or we're hurting this, or we're hurting. No, I do not think anything about that. My theology and my traditions are totally separate. But I was reading the Christmas story the other day, and I came upon one particular verse. It's in Matthew's gospel, and it's in the first chapter, and it's the 21st verse. It's only that verse, just really the second part of the verse, really hit me hard. It says in that 21st verse, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I look around and I see all the things that people do at Christmas time. Love the lights. People decorate their outside of their home. I went by one last night. It was lit up. I mean, it had crystal lights lining the sidewalks, and then blue lights lining the doorways, and all the neat stuff. A huge tree. I mean, I think this was a house. It might not have been as tall as that one, but it was pretty close. All those really, really neat things that say to our world, this is Christmas. This is what it means. And then I read what it really means. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He came to this world. We celebrate his birth, but it was for one purpose, that he might save us from our sins. He might save us from our sins. So like the star of Bethlehem itself up against that dark sky that night, Jesus comes in a shining light, a hope once again, but it's on the backdrop of our sin. And I know that may be the depressing part about you're being depressing on what should be a very wonderful, upbeat Christmas message and all the things that should go with it. But I watch today where Christianity has gone, and I believe I see a clear contrast to what old preaching, old theology was, and what we have today. What we hear today is something that is so watered down that there's no respect, really, for what the gospel says. You know, the voice of our fathers, I think of my grandfather Blackburn. I mean, the preaching that he did, the strength that came forth when he said something. They painted the word as it is said right here. Sin was a terrible thing. It was something that required a Savior to come into the world, to be born of a virgin, and then to die because of sin. It wasn't you drop in, have a great time, have a party, bring all the presents, do all the things. No, we give ourselves the presents. But the present was laid out for us. Sin was something, as they preached it, that talked about the depth of depravity in the human heart. And if it weren't for the grace of God through Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed on Calvary, none of us would ever escape that. We would be in that same penalty. You see, that's because old theology embraced that concept. Read the old hymns. Listen to what they say. They expressed it everywhere. Well, I'm tired of those old hymns. I love those old hymns. I'm sick and tired of y'all changing the words to them, Terrence, but besides that, look for the old hymns. Look at the old pictures that were painted by preachers of the gospel. They painted hell exactly what it is, a horrific place that no one would ever want to go. Endless horror. That's exactly the way they painted it, because it's exactly what the Word of God says. There'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because of sin. And what do I hear today? I hear far and wide something that's so complacent, something that just kind of smooths everything over. They don't talk about human depravity. And if they do, it's basically everybody's got it. Nobody's going to be punished by it. It all gets smoothed over. It's simply our nature. It is the nature of man to have a depraved heart. It's a reality. It's exactly what it is. We want to view humanity in the most ideal situation. We want to look upon people and see the great things that they can do and all those kind of things. But have we really truly outgrown forgiveness? Have we gotten away from what sin truly is? How much it has damaged us? Our inadequacies, are they just simply to be, you understand. We'll just overlook that. How about when you talk about ignorance? Oh, well, we'll just give them some more illumination and they won't be ignorant anymore. They'll all be these great things. How about selfishness? Well, you know, selfishness can be corrected. I see that all the time. And I'm thinking, good Lord, I cannot believe you're taking pictures of yourself. I mean, woo, forgot what you look like? Buy a mirror. There's no such thing as a tragedy of depravity anymore. There's no such thing as a human nature that needed a savior. Really, in so many ways, man is put up as the glory, but yet as the scandal of our nation, of our universe today. We may not recognize that, but if you don't, we are far beyond apprehension. I believe that to be true. If you do not know Jesus Christ, if you do not put your hand in his hand, you don't know him. You'll miss him. It's not to be a downer. I'm not trying to be a downer today. I'm just trying to tell you that the old ways are still the right ways. I'm trying to tell you that it is up to date today. Sometimes it was in your face. Well, sometimes we need it in our face. There are types of things that need to be said, and you need to compare them. What do we have? Well, we have a softness. I don't have a problem with softness. I like babies. I do. But when it comes to the Word of God, I think it needs to be not sentimental, but it just needs to be straight out. You need to say it. You need to lay out every bit of this. I can read the Christmas story. I can put all the emphasis. I love to hear that story read. But when I read that 21st verse, that he came to save us from our sin, that's a stopping point. I have to look at myself. I have to look at what our world is today. We're simply overwhelmed. We're overwhelmed on a daily basis by the powerful negative message that comes when you say that we have no bad human nature. when everything is just smooth as it is. I like that the old men, they called sin, sin. They just laid it out. They didn't mask it. They didn't do anything. You know, it was descriptive. I knew what I had to do. I had to deal with it. I had to ask someone to come. And I found out that because of my sin, I only had one person I could call. And his name was Jesus. You realize that everywhere we go today, every path that is traveled, it leads to one thing, that we need to rediscover what sin is. We need to see why Jesus was born an innocent child and yet would give his life on a cross. We need to realize that even science, even though we try to exalt it, we try to prove everything by it, that those endless discoveries, that they're great. I was fascinated by the space liftoff that we've been watching here, three of them now, where they fly these people up around and they take all the pictures and they come land right back down and nobody's dead. And, you know, you get in, do I call them an astronaut? They're going to debate, are they astronauts or whatever they were, that kind of stuff. I thought that was so cool. That's science. But did not God provide for that science? We can't blame it. We can't make it out to being evil, but we sure can make it out to being something that it is not. It is the gift that God gave us. It's not something man sucked out of his thumb. You know, we complain about what took place years and years ago, especially in a certain denomination, when we talk about the damnation of infants, that they hadn't been christened. They haven't been baptized, and therefore they would be damned if they died. And we all reject that. Of course we would reject that. But yet at the same time today, we just go along with the very same thing in the very form of abortion. We dealt with the problem. The damnation of a child would be given unto God, and that's the end of that kid. Well, now we just solved it. Well, what do? Well, we just abort them. That's just what we do. You see, it's not a fun thing. The birth of Jesus Christ was something that was so deep because the demonic nature that has come upon mankind, that we see our worst all the time. It comes out. It comes out in revelry. We come out at Christmas time. We celebrate. We give the gifts. We go and leave in drunk as a drunken stupor because we are celebrating Christmas. You can see the best, you can see the worst. But where did that nature come from? How did we ever come up with that? Oh, we have the answer if you're talking to a man. Education. Remember that? Education was going to lift us out of this hole that we're in. We're going to horse man. You know, crime could be eliminated if we just had schools that we paid taxes and they built these schools, they put all this money into things, and education will do everything. Do you realize that all the money that we spend on education, all the money that you spend on churches in a church, all the money we put into charity, all the money you could pull together like that does not even begin to touch what we pay when it comes down to our prison systems? Can't even get anywhere near what it takes to reform people. The billions and billions of dollars that are spent just in America alone. And education was supposed to solve that. I say there's something demonic in human nature. I think there's something there that perverts the very best to make it the worst. Because it is what has happened, and the Word of God has spoken about it, and Jesus was born of a virgin to come into this world to save us from our sins. Now, man has spiritual qualities. I realize that. You guys have qualities. They're very wonderful qualities, but you didn't get it by joining the Do Better Club. You didn't get it because you came into the back doors of this church here, and all of a sudden you were instantly great. I love loyalty. I love patriotism. You know, we exalt that flag when it's time to exalt that flag, but not before Jesus. Never happens that way. I like fellowship. I enjoy watching you guys. Going around, shaking hands, hugging necks, doing all things. I love that part. I love the sense of community that we have in Robinson. I like to get together with other preachers. You know, we may not see everything eye to eye, but who cares? I enjoy this. I enjoy it when people turn away from the egotistical attitudes that we see and actually embrace the Christian fellowship at Christmas time. They put away themselves and they come and they want to put their thoughts on something else other than them. I love the part where we have spent time and we're saying, it's not my way only. It's time that I can listen to people, that I can grow by what they have to say. I think Americans, we love the very fact, I think freedom is probably one of our greatest possessions, but it was given to us, not by science, not by education, not by the church, but by the Savior. It came from Jesus. And his name shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. My friends, that is a realistic outlook. That is the kind of outlook that we need. That's the kind you put your rose-colored glasses up for a while. And you look at what sin truly is. It required a Savior. It required Jesus Christ. There's a couple steps I want to lay out to you this morning. The first one is something that I think that we see dealt with a lot today, that our world pours a lot of money into this. And it is simply that it's how we view human nature, but we view it in a way we call it social problems. What do we do with about our social problems today? We pour money into it. We don't change lives. We try to upgrade it by throwing money at it, but the lives are never changed. What to me, it's just like putting a Band-Aid on a cancerous growth. It never will change. You will eventually die from that cancerous growth that's right there. What do we call it? Well, you know, if you like to go back in the old school, we called it inner depravity. We called it the very thing that went, original sin. We called it Adamic nature. We called it what the Bible calls it, and that we were born with it. Now, you get a psychologist, and he'll come along and he'll pick up the thoughts of Freud or Fakey or whatever you call that guy. Prude. Yeah, I know what it is, but it's your id. Isn't it? That's what he said. It's the id. And I'm going, okay, it's an id. All right. You know what he said about it? You're born with it. You know what he described it as? That you're selfish, you're primitive, you have perverted emotions, you have all of these things. What's the difference between that and Adamic nature? Nothing. What's the difference between an id and depravity? Nothing. It's just a word. So I don't care if you want to call it it's your id or you call it Adamic nature. I really don't care. I just know that even he recognized we were born with it, and it's something that has damaged every person. It is human nature. We've tried all kinds of things. What is the great prize that they give every year? The high one, the real big one that they give science Nobel. You know where that came from? I know Steve would know that. He's a teacher, a great teacher there. What did Mr. Nobel do to get that kind of award? Mr. Nobel developed dynamite. Yeah, that is the Nobel deal. I mean, back in the 1890s, he created dynamite. And why did he create? He found out, he said, by inventing dynamite and we mass produce it, there will never be another war. I guess that's because they figured they'd put out enough, they'd blow up all their enemies and everything would be. The problem was everybody got their own dynamite and they blew up each other. Yep. But we get awards for that today. I don't think he knew human nature very well. I don't think Horace Mann and education knew human nature very well. I don't think that all of these people that always have an answer for this knew human nature at all. We talk about the underprivileged today. We talk about those that are down underneath a bridge down in Waco. We can supply all the food. We can supply all the answers and clothing. We can do all the things like that. Find them a place, build a building for them, let them go here. But they'll never, ever change, and the situation never changes without the name of Jesus. It just doesn't happen. And why would we celebrate Christmas and do all the things that are wonderful and it lifts up the world to know that a Savior came into the world, and we should celebrate it that way. But the reality of him coming into this world was to address every one of these issues. It's called humanity. It's called what we have been placed upon us. If we could give all that we have to the underprivileged, what do they say? Oh, we need to share the wealth. Get a job. Oh, that's harsh, Jim, but it's true. I promise you, if people that we said were underprivileged, if they have money, are they going to willingly share it? It's their money. They're not going to share it. Why? It's human nature. We haven't found the answer yet. All we're doing is throwing money at it. But that's not the answer. And they will not recognize that answer. You say, well, it's harsh and it's in this time. It's been every time. Blind Bartimaeus begging alongside the road. He had a need. How was the need met? It wasn't met in any other way than in Jesus. Look at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is in his counting house. All the money that he had was never, ever going to change outside of Jesus. The rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus wasting away at his gate. The rich man's got everything, but he didn't have Jesus. You can look at the woman of Samaria. She's at the well. Nobody would be there. No other woman would be anywhere close to her because of the lifestyle that she led. What did she need? She didn't need society around her pumping her up. She needed Jesus. That's what everyone needed. Nicodemus studying it. What did he need? He said, I need to be born again. I need to be what God has meant. It's a tragedy that we have that human nature. It is a tragedy. But aren't we glad that we have a Christ that redeems us? Aren't we thrilled that the power that to save us from our sins, to lift us out of the junk that we find ourselves in all the time? Social needs are going to be there, but Jesus is the only answer. He's the only one that's going to make that happen the way it should. A second step is look at yourself. That's a fun thing, isn't it? Now, ladies, I know you spend a lot of time looking at yourself. Praise God. I think men should spend more time looking at themselves. Okay, anyway. But why I always ask me, said, how are you today? Well, I'm lovely. But I always tell them nobody can vote on that except for me. My friends, until you see yourself lost, you'll never be saved. Until you see that you have a need, you'll never find the Savior. You'll never find the Christ that came that we celebrate. What did I listen to yesterday? I listened to a young person say to me, well, they know that Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. I asked him, were you there? I said, he may not have been born on December the 25th. I don't know. But this is where we celebrate that, okay? You know, we celebrate that. Science can't explain that. They can't tell me what his birthday. I'm like Satchel Paige, the great black baseball player. He said, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? Oh, that was Walter that said that to me. Oh, was it? Okay. We deceive ourselves in believing that we're not bad. We deceive ourselves. Sin is terrible. It's gross. It's everything that we don't want. We can say that, oh, no, sin is the guy that's staggering down the street after having too much to drink. Is that sin? Or we can point out the harlot. Is that sin? We can make all the bad things that we have. We can talk about those that are loud and brazen and curse God, use his name in vain. Is that sin? We can see things today that are on regular TV that wouldn't even begin to be shown when I was a kid. You'd have gone to the dive to find out what they put on HBO or anyone, or just regular TV today. It's right there. What do we have? We have what is called sin. We must face that. It doesn't change if you move to a better location. It doesn't change if you dress it up. It doesn't change if you make, a more glamorous. It never changes. It's still just sin. That's exactly what it is. You know, you can move to the suburbs or down to the lofts. You know, live high class. All the things. You can drive an old Volkswagen. You can drive a Cadillac. It doesn't make any difference. It's still what it is. You can change your clothes, upgrade everything, be nice, all those things. And you can say, well, that's no longer indecent, and no longer is it something that just happens. We have been conditioned to accept things that are ungodly. I used a term yesterday in a wedding. I said, marriage is between one man and one woman. Not according to our society today. But according to the Word of God, it is. According to the Word of God, we have to face the fact that our heart has that same old sin. We need to face the tragedy that my sin is not simply an individual thing, but I am part of a collective. You're part of a society that falls prey to this. And no amount of excuses that they can give will ever, ever cleanse what we need, but only Jesus. You can turn a blind eye to it. You can ignore all the things that they put out, but our nature individually is something that can only be dealt with. Our problem can only be dealt with by the great physician, and his name is Jesus. So all these things, it comes right down to this. If you want to look and see, you will look through God's eyes to see how you are. And you'll see, I need a Savior. And his name is Jesus. So you walk out of the social part, you walk through the individual part, which really applies to our hearts. And I have to ask myself, who does not need this? I don't know anybody. I don't know one person that does not need to be exposed to the fact that only Christ can change your life. I'm sure that there are secret sins. You may have that yourself right here, and you definitely do not want to be exposed. You don't want anybody to find that out. Why? God sees it. You've got things that are going on, people that can't forgive themselves for things they've done. And it eats at them every single day. People that see that had sinned and is habitual and it's consuming, but yet they cannot deal with it. People are suffering from the consequences of a lifestyle that they lived. And they suffer and they suffer and they suffer because they're always choosing something other than the mercy and the everlasting love that God gives. And it came in the fact of Jesus Christ. When he said, you are forgiven, I can say, I'm forgiven. All of these things came through that one little verse that said, and you'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now I want to finish with this. The scripture lays out the real truth and the depth of that truth. That the thoughts that God has about every one of us the longing that he placed when he sent, when Jesus came into this world, that every heart would turn to him. That's the way God sees it. That's the way God wants it to be. Unfortunately, we don't always hear that in church today. You'll have to hear it here, because I'm going to say it. But when we deal with other people, when we deal with our friends that may go to a church that never preaches this, they may never hear it. Well, that's just nothing but a bunch of old theology, a bunch of old preaching. Maybe so. But it's good. It's biblical. It's sound. It's not spiritual cosmetics. It's radical surgery. It's not something you can just get and everything will be just fine. And drink this, take this pill, everything's going to be good. No. It can't be done with a complacent attitude. It has to be done by really seeing that I have a need and it was satisfied in the birth of Jesus Christ. You may see him as a baby, we may do this, but I see him as the one that brought me indispensable salvation through his blood. I see him as the one that never talked about something superficial when it came down to death. I think he came and he said, I'm not leaving you in the mud to wallow any longer. I'm going to glorify you. Because of my presence in your life, I'm going to lift you up to my Father. I'm going to do something different. My friends, that is true salvation. When he said, I'm going to save you from your sins, I'm not saving you in them. I'm not saving you so you can tag along and drag them. I'm saving you from them. I'm going to save you from the inner wrongness. I'm going to save you from the curse that hit all humanity. I'm going to save you and I'm going to make a difference because I'm giving you a gospel of forgiveness. I'm giving you the truth and the power that transforms the human life and takes on the human nature. And it does it from the inside out. Not with new clothes, but a transformation of a heart. And you'll call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people. He'll save you, he'll save me from their sins. That is the message of Christmas. It's honest. May not be what we want to talk about every day, but we can't afford self-deception. We need to let God look at our hearts, and then we need to see through his eyes what we are, truly are. And if you've done that, then I give you the great Christmas gift of his salvation. I can tell you that God smiles and he loves us and he lays all these things out for us. If you've received the Spirit of God into your life, you have seen what God can do for you, that he has offering to everybody. If you got a message you want to take from here, from this pulpit, it's just old school preaching. But it's a message that will play right in the hearts of anybody you come in contact with. They may have all the new ways of stating it. They may have all the things that may change it. But the reality of it is, God said, this is why I came into the world. I came to save you from your sins. And that'll play anywhere. Let's pray.